بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we ask that the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those who follow his way until the end of time. Today inshallah we continue with our tafsir of Surah Fatiha and its effects on the life of a Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, in Surah Al-Anfal, the 8th chapter of the Qur'an, وَعَدُّ لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to the believers in general, to gather all you can of strength and be prepared. In Surah Nisa, the 4th chapter of the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا خُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ. O you who believe, muster together all of your strength. Do you need something? Are you okay? Okay. Is everything okay? Fine. Don't worry. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا خُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ. O you who believe, prepare yourselves. Be ready. Today we want to talk about how Surah Al-Fatiha prepares us for our greatest enemy. And if you want to know how great is this enemy, you go to the Qur'an. And around 3 or 4 verses in the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just in these 3 or 4 verses, discusses relationships. Half of the verses deal with relationships with human beings. The other half, or usually the verse after it, deals with the relationship with this enemy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an, when He talked about dealing with human beings, is very interesting. For example, in the 7th chapter of the Qur'an, verse number 199, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُذ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Hold to forgiveness and order to al-urf, what's good, what's right, and turn away from the ignorant people. You know, sometimes stupid people, they bother you. Those of you who have little brothers or sisters, probably this happened to you a lot. Sometimes people bother us because of their ignorance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us how to deal with these people. وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Turn away from them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Luqman, وَإِذَا خَاتَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When they meet those people who are ignorant, or those people who are foolish, or those people who insult them, they say salam. Also if you go to Surah Fussilat, in Surah Fussilat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَسْتَوِ الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِيهِ أَحْسَنُ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَرِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the chapter called Al-Fussilat, وَحَامِيمْ سَجْدَ, He says that the good and evil are not the same. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنُ. You اِدْفَعْ, if you go to the Arabic country, on the door, when you leave the grocery store, اِدْفَعْ, push. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, give back with something better. Somebody does something to you, give back something that's better. This is our means of da'wah. One of the ways to repel people is to give back better. Because usually if somebody bothers you, what's the logical conclusion? That you're going to do what? You're going to retaliate. So Islam came to, mashallah, good answer, take the rug out of these people. That's why, subhanAllah, I remember when I first became Muslim, in Oklahoma, and I was in MSA, in a university in Oklahoma there. And there was this guy named Dennis, Dennis the Menace. And I went to actually high school with Dennis and middle school. From 6th grade all the way up until that time, we had known each other. So one day Dennis, he was walking across the campus, right? And he saw me. And he hadn't seen me probably in 6 years, 7 years, 8 years. So he came up to me, he was like, Wax Master Will on the wheels of steel! Okay, don't tell anyone that was my name before. So, he said, Will, is that you? I said, yeah, it's me. How you doing? Dennis. Dennis the Menace. And he was also a menace, by the way. And Dennis, he was like, man, what are you doing with all these Arab cats, man? You know, what are you doing with these people? I told him I became Muslim. And he was in a state of shock. You know, 1 + 1 = 2. Will in Islam is just not a realistic formula to come up with a solution, right? So he was telling me, man, how did you become Muslim? And what about Islam? And you know, what do Muslims believe, and do you hate Jesus, and are we the great Satan, and stuff like that, right? So then, subhanAllah, he was talking to me, and then suddenly he said something really ignorant and stupid. He said, you know, I had a chance to go to a Muslim country when I was in the service, but I didn't go to this Muslim country because they don't have any Mad Dog 2020. They don't have any alcohol. But there was another Muslim country where they do have alcohol, so I chose to go to that one. And he says, while I was there, man, I used to get, like, bent every night. So I was saying, man, this guy is, like, a savage, man. And I was listening to him. And I said to myself, wallahi, I said to myself, this guy will never become Muslim. I said this to myself. And then, you know, we were nice with him, though. And we maintained our composure. Then he called me, like, 3 months later. He was doing his degree in communications. And he was like, man, I need to do a radio show on Islam. So I need your interview. So he interviewed me over the phone, and I answered some questions about Islam. Then, as is the sunnah of all college student workers, I got a job where? Who knows? Where do every college student in the world have to work at least once? Telemarketing, right? So I was a telemarketer, and I was doing 17 hours that semester. And we used to have a Wednesday night program, but we had it in the masjid. So the brothers, they contacted me. And they said to me, some guy named Dennis came through looking for you. It's like, okay, that's interesting. Then the next week again, they told me, this guy Dennis, he came again. Then every week they would tell me, Dennis came, Dennis came, Dennis came, Dennis came. And subhanAllah, eventually, alhamdulillah, he became Muslim. So from my experience with him, idfa'abilati ahsan. Because I wanted to tear his head off when he was talking about the bad things that he was doing in a Muslim country. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in these verses, He outlined for us the ways to deal with people. اِدْفَعَ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. To give back something that's better. Or to be patient with them. Or to turn away from them. Or to say something nice to them. And so forth. But subhanAllah, you go to these same verses. And usually the verse right after these verses, the verses that talk about human relations, the next verse that follows talks about how to deal with this enemy. And this enemy that we're going to talk about today is so great that even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't let you be kind with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't let you turn away from him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't let you do anything with him to bring about any type of warmth in the relationship. In every verse in the Quran that Allah talks about this guy in this way, He gives you only one option. فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. The only thing that you can do with this enemy is to seek refuge with Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't tell you to attack him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't tell you to get out and try to fight him. You know, you see some people try to fight their jinn or their shaitan, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only ordered us to do one thing with shaitan, and this is the enemy that we're talking about, is to seek refuge in Allah from him. That's the only thing. And nowhere in the Quran can you find that Allah said, take anyone as an enemy, except shaitan. Even those people that was fighting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like Abu Sufyan and his wife Hind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if they fa'intabu aqamu salatu wa atu zakah fa ikhwanakum fi din, that if these people repent, the people who ate the flesh of Hamza, and they pay and they pray and they pay zakah, then they're your brothers. But no such leeway is given to the devil, shaitan. Shaitan in Arabic means Satan. So tonight we're going to talk about al-shaytan. How al-fatiha will help us to repel the attacks of al-shaytan. Maybe someone here says, I don't have no problem with no shaytan. You got a problem right there. You know, someone that says, shoot, I ain't got no problem with no shaytan. I got a problem with, you know, Britney Spears and smoking some blunts and, you know, going to the club. I ain't got no problem with shaitan. The one who thinks that they don't have any problem with shaitan is the one shaitan got the biggest control over. You know, one time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is important for the brothers and the sisters to see how a married couple should act. He was walking with Aisha, his wife Aisha is related by Imam al-Bukhari. And they was walking in the night. And she became jealous about something. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, your shaitan overtook you, ya Aisha. She said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said to him, can we give this brother a chair because he has his dog with him so he can see? Can someone give him a chair? Okay. You okay? You sure? Okay. So subhanAllah, they was walking. And as they was walking, Aisha radiallahu anha, she got jealous. She was famous sometime for getting jealous about the other wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet said, "Ya Aisha, oh Aisha, your shaitan got you. How come you're jealous?" She said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Ya Rasulullah, does everyone have a shaitan? Does everyone have a devil?" He said, "Yeah." And she said, "Even you?" Says the Prophet. You know, subhanAllah, sometimes when brothers are married to sisters, right, and sisters ask questions, brothers get upset. It's happened a lot. When I was imam, man, brother used to call me up. I want to divorce my wife. Why? She asked me questions. What is she supposed to do, man? You know, sometimes a sister will ask a brother a question. He'll say, "You don't respect me. You know, you don't give me my haqq. You're supposed to make sujood to me, baby." You know, and so forth and so forth, right? As Imam Siraj has said, whipping a woman with a sharia. So she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Even you?" And imagine, this is the Prophet, you know. He could have easily got offended. "I'm the Prophet. Do you know who I am? Da-da-da-da-da." But this is the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Yeah, even me, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped me to make my shaitan Muslim." This hadith is sahih in al-Bukhari. But one lesson we take is he said that everyone has a shaitan. Everyone. And another hadith of Safiyyah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was in i'tikaf. And this is also related by al-Bukhari. And he actually was in i'tikaf and he walked her out. Even though he was in i'tikaf, mashallah, he was so good to his wife, he walked her to the front door. Okay? And as they were walking, some people saw them from far away. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to them, "Hey, this is my wife Safiyyah." Then they said to him, "Subhanallah, Ya Rasulullah. How could we ever think you was walking with a girl?" Nowadays on the campus, we see so many guys and girls walking together. Are we not more shy than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do we feel that we are better than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? See a brother and a sister walking, and they see, "Oh, there's Omer Camel, man, MSA president. Just go over there, girl. Did he pass?" Okay, then bing. Right. But subhanAllah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is more shy than us, and still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him he's going to forgive all his sins. Shouldn't we be shy also, or even more shy than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So he said to them, "Hey, this is my wife Safiyyah." They said to him, "Ya Rasulullah, how come? How come we could think that, you know, something?" Wa'adhu billah. He said, "I was worried because shaitan, it travels through the sons of Adam like blood in their veins." Some ahadith say that every time one of the sons of Adam has a children, a child, shaitan, he has a child. Hatim, he was the student of somebody named Ash-Shaqiq. It's okay, he's okay. I have a daughter, so I deal with her all the time. Yeah, don't be uncomfortable. Go change your daughter, man. Your son, right? So, he was the student of Shaqiq for about 39, 33 years. And Shaqiq, he said to Hatim, he said to him, "You studied with me for so many years." And this is also in the book of Al-Ghazali, my dear beloved son. Okay. He said to him, "SubhanAllah, you studied with me for 30-something odd years. What did you learn from me in 33 years? He said, "Alhamdulillah, I learned 9 things. He said, "La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah." 30 years, 9 things? He said, "Yeah, in 30 years, I learned 9 things." So he said, "What? I want to know what you learned." One of the things Hatim, he learned, he said to his Shaykh Shaqiq, he said to him, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran for us to do something. And I saw everyone doing the opposite. What was it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to do? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that shaitan is adu. He is an enemy. فَاتَّخِذُهُ عَدُوَّ. So take him as an enemy. He said, so I saw all the people fighting each other. All of the Muslims arguing about superficial issues. And even other people. And he said, I realized, subhanAllah, that these people are doing the opposite of what Allah ordered them to do. They are taking everything else, but shaitan is their enemy. Ask yourself, I'm sure there might be some brothers and sisters tonight in this room that got problems with each other. Ask yourself, subhanAllah, when was the last time You woke up in the morning and you said, in this day, I'm going to take shaitan as an enemy. And probably you said, never. This means you're sleeping. As Denzel said, man, haddathani Denzel, you've been bamboozled. You've been tricked. When was the last time you woke up in the morning and said, subhanallah, I realize, innahu lakum aduwwun mubin, that shaitan is my enemy, and your enemy has a strategy. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not allow you to make any type of concessions to him. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he was dying. And when he was dying, his sons were telling him, say, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. And he was saying, no, 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 no. And they said, what's wrong with him? Then afterwards, he got his consciousness. And they asked him, why were you saying no? He said, when you were telling me to say, la ilaha illallah, shaitan had come to me and said, you made it. You beat me. You won. You're successful. You are Imam Sunnah. You are Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. You wrote the Musnad. You are the big sheikh. Don't worry. He was saying, no, 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 not till I die. So a shaitan, he's your enemy. And everyone has a shaitan. And this shaitan, before even computer science was invented, he is programmed to destroy you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows where you are soft. He knows how to make us fall into traps. And he knows the right time to do it. The right time, the right place. He has hikmah. Hikmah and evil. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, when he talks about shaitan, you feel like shaitan is like a person. He said, sabir. He's patient. He will wait on you. You do something good, and later on he'll get you, to make you lose it. He's persistent. His objective is clear. His goals are clear. He knows how to attack. So who is shaitan? Tonight we're going to talk about, inshallah ta'ala, three things. The first thing we're going to talk about is, what is shaitan? Who is shaitan? Okay. The second is, we're going to talk about the three doors. What shaitan he uses to get to you. Everything has an entrance. Right? Everything has a means of entrance. Shaitan, the devil, he has three means of getting to the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last thing we're going to talk about are the seven habits of highly destroyed people. We had, mashallah, a very nice book around 10, 12 years ago, which is a very good book, actually. Orchestra over there or something. I think it was a cellular phone. I was in LA, you know, and there was one girl, she had Dr. Dre on her cellular phone. So I was in the masjid giving a lecture. Suddenly, boom, 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 boom. One, two, three, into the four, you know. And, you know, it wasn't Brother Suhaib was at the door. It wasn't that. And she was embarrassed to answer her phone, right? So it just kept going. And we were just sitting there having a halaqa with Mr. Dre. Ask Allah to guide him to become, inshallah, Dawood, inshallah. So the seven habits of highly destroyed people. People who are being destroyed, shaitan, he actually has a seven system plan of destroying you. And Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, he talks about, once shaitan gets through one of those three doors, he starts to operate according to a very strategic system. And the entire goal of the system, inshallah, to destroy you, and we'll talk about specifically what he wants. First of all, who is shaitan? What is shaitan? Shatana means to be far away from something. Shatana is the root of shaitan. Shatana. Shaitan is far away. Far away from khair. Far away from goodness. Far away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Far away from Allah. Ba'da yani. Far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have a lot of theories about who he is. Probably the most common theory is that he is a fallen angel. And this is due to, first of all, Christian thought. And secondly, that many Muslims are weak in the Arabic language. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, and this is not the correct assessment of who shaitan is. You go to the second chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and remember when we ordered the angels to make sujood to Adam, and they made sujood to him, they prostrated to him. Sujood is when the Muslims go down on the ground like this.
Okay.
And all of them prostrated except Iblis. He refused and he was arrogant and he became from the disbelievers. Many people, they believe that when they read this verse, this means that Iblis was an angel. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he ordered all of the angels to prostrate in another surah, كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ إِلَى Iblis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered all the angels to prostrate to Adam, and then it says, except Iblis. So people think that Iblis was with the angels in this order, so he was an angel. This is called harful istithna. Siwa, ghayru, sawa, suwa, ila, and so forth. If you've studied al-ajrumiyya, you studied babul al-istithna, al-harful istithna. Istithna means exception. Like we say, la ilaha illallah, an exception. But let me show you something. If I said in English, I'll show you in English. We have this in English as well. If I said to you, all of the sisters came in the room and sat down, but Suhaib stood up. Or except Suhaib stood up. Am I a sister? Watch yourself. No offense. Okay. Am I a sister? No, I'm a brother. So, I'm not a sister. We can say, all of the students came in the room and began to study except the teacher. He was writing on the board. Is the teacher a student? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we ordered the angels to prostrate except Iblis, doesn't mean that Iblis is an angel. It means Iblis, he was there. He was chilling, hanging out. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah said that Iblis has the physical form, or had the physical form of an angel, but he was a jinn. Wallahu alam. And this is qiyas. It's not an opinion that's based on some type of proof from the Quran. The other proof is in the 18th chapter of the Quran as to the origin of what is Iblis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Kahf, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ. And this kana tam, laysa kana naqis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and remember when we told the angels to prostrate to Adam, and all of them prostrated, okay, except Iblis. He was from the jinn. It's very clear in the Quran. There is a weak riwayah from Ibn Abbas that says Iblis was an angel who became a jinn. But you remember the cartoon Metamorphosis? We don't have it, alhamdulillah. In Islamic theology, he was a jinn, will be a jinn, and will always be a jinn. Now, we want to talk about the history of Iblis and his means of attack and some of those remedies in Surah Al-Fatiha. And after that, if we have time, we'll talk about the three doors, and then we'll talk about the seven habits. I hope I won't be sued for using the term seven habits, as it is a patent on it. If we want to talk about the history of Iblis, we have to go to the story of Adam, the one which we mentioned earlier. In Sahih Bukhari, also Ibn Kathir in Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah, it gives the story of how Adam was created. Actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took clay from all over the world, different colors of clay, and he made Adam. And Adam, he was shaped as like a clay figure. And he had nothing inside him. And Iblis, he used to see Adam. And he used to go and look at him. And he used to say, you have been created for something great. And Iblis, even he used to go inside the mouth of Adam from the inside and look at him. So this tells you he knows you. He understands you. And as he was doing that, he was becoming jealous. And he was saying, why? Why this guy? What's this person for? What's this thing for? I don't understand why this thing has been created. But something noble. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Adam with his own hands. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He caused Adam to come to life, He created him in a very beautiful way. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Adam. And this is why Muslims don't put holes in their faces, in their eyes, in their tongues, in their stomachs. Because we feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in an honorable way. Or tattoos. I see some questions coming tonight now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made Adam, and then He ordered the angels to make sujood to him. Maybe someone says, isn't this sujood ibadah? No, this is the sujood of ihtiram. This is the sujood of respect. Hasan al-Basri said that when they prostrated to Adam, the obedience was to Allah and the respect was to Adam. Then we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to prostrate along with the angels. He refused. He was arrogant. And he became from the kuffar. We didn't have enough time to finish all of the aspects of purification of the soul. But one of the things we were going to talk about is al-hasad, envy. To be envious of others. Hasad actually means more than envy. Hasad means, for example, I see this brother, he has this Walkman. And then I say in myself, I wish Allah didn't give him that Walkman and He gave it to me. This is hasad. Envy means I wish I had it and he had it. But hasad means I wish he didn't have it. I wish I had it. This is al-hasad. So the ulama said the first sin that ever took place in the history of the world was the hasad, the envy that Iblis had for Adam. Afterwards, if you go to the 7th chapter of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He starts to have a discussion with Iblis. And He said to Iblis, مَا مَنَاءَكَ What prohibited you? What stopped you from prostrating? إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ When you was ordered to. قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ خَلَقَتَنِي مِنْ نَارُ وَخَلَقَتَهُ مِنْ تِينَ I'm better than him. You made me from fire and you made him from clay. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, get out. فَلَتَكُونَ أَنْتَ تَكَبَّرَ فِيهَا فَخْرُجَ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Iblis, get out because you're arrogant. We take another point about arrogance, that when somebody's arrogant, it takes them away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because soon as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was manifest from Iblis' actions that Iblis was arrogant, فَخْرُجَ مِنْهَا Get out of paradise. The same with us. If we have arrogance in our heart, we're not going to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Iblis was told to get away. Now we take an important lesson. What happened next? Who knows what Iblis did? Nobody can think of this word in the context of Iblis. He made dua. Iblis made dua. Iblis supplicated to his creator. Can you imagine? Iblis, the one who causes you to miss Fajr. Iblis, the one who caused you to look at nasty things on the internet, brothers and sisters. Iblis, the one who causes us to lose control with our wife sometimes. You know, why you burn the biryani, girl? Boom! Right? Iblis, who did so many things to us. This enemy, the antithesis of truth, is making dua. To who? قَالَ رَبِّ أَنذِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ He said, Oh my Lord, give me respite until the day you resurrect them. Something else, what is the main job of Iblis? Is to invite people to do what? But what's the main sin he wants? Shirk. To worship something other than Allah. But what did he say? قَالَ عَدُوِّ أَنذُرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ قَالَ رَبِّي He said, My Lord. SubhanAllah, here's Iblis in the Quran admitting that Allah is the Lord of everything. That's why in the dua he said, Rabbi, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, قَالَ رَبِّ أَنذِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ My Lord, give me respite. SubhanAllah, the number one job of Iblis is to take people away from the worship of Allah. And right in the Quran, he's admitting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the true Lord. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْدَرِينَ اسْمُ مَفْعُولٌ Allah says, indeed you are from those who were given respite. What's the lesson? How many in here are sinners? Oh, excuse me, Mr. Pontius Pilate. Alright? All of us are sinners. All of us are sinners. And sometimes when we sin, especially if we do something really haram, you know? Like at McDonald's, they got the combo meal, they got the haram combo. 5 or 6 things in one day, you know? Right? This is the number 9, number 3, number 4, right? And subhanAllah, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah mentions that one of the goals of shaitan is before you commit a sin. Before I commit a sin, and you have this intellectual struggle to sin or not to sin. That is the question. So you're making even Shakespearean sonnets in your mind and relating it to your sin. And Iblis comes to you and says, don't you believe Allah is Ar-Rahman? Rahmatullahi wasi'a. Don't you believe that Allah's mercy is wide? Didn't you hear Brother Sayyidah? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Allah is so merciful. Sin, don't worry, be happy. Go ahead. If'al ma shit. Ma fi mushkila. Rahmatullahi wasi'a ya habibi. Go ahead ya habibi da. He's pushing you. Then you do the sin. Then Ibn Qayyim, subhanAllah, Ibn Qayyim, really his analysis of Iblis is interesting. He said, then after you commit the sin, for example, say someone, they smoke bud. And before they smoke bud, they listen to their Bob Marley records, which led to it in the first place. And, you know, they're talking about standing up for their rights and all that stuff and, you know, whatever else. And they're like, man, astaghfirullah, I can't do this. Or they're going to mess with a girl. Or they're going to mess with a guy. And they're saying to themselves, man, astaghfirullah, I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm a Muslim. How can I be sinning like this? Iblis comes to you and says, no problem, man. Aren't you from Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah? Oh yeah, yeah, I am. Well, in Al-Aqidah Tahawiyyah, and the 17th rule, it says that Allah's mercy is so great. Don't you? You have a problem in your Aqidah now. Okay, I believe Allah is merciful. Okay. And you will go. And they will go. Then after they're done, they realize, I made a mistake. Ibn Qayyim said, in this moment, Iblis will come again. And he will tell you, you are not good enough to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is shadeed al-iqab. Allah is the one who's strong to punish. Why are you going to ask His forgiveness? He's not going to forgive you. Look what you did. Look what you was doing. How can you even raise your hands? How can you go to the masjid? How can you go to the lecture? How can you go and listen to the good things? You're a sinner. Look, he switched it. So you can take this lesson here. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He even answered the dua of Iblis. Is anyone here worse than Iblis? Is anyone here worse than shaitan? Shaitan said, Rabbi anzirni ila yawmi yubathun. Qala innaka min munzirin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered the dua of Iblis. What about you and me? It's really an amazing point in the Quran. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is answering the dua of this shaitan. This, I don't want to say it. So what about us? Sometimes we feel we did too many sin. Sometimes we feel on this campus we're lost. Sometimes we feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't hear our dua. Sometimes we feel that I'm making dua, it's going nowhere. Here's Iblis. He's making dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's answering his dua like this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that when you make dua, four things happen. The first one is when you make dua, your dua is answered. The second one, you make dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He's al-Hakim al-Alim, He knows that what you're asking for is not good enough for you. Like my daughter. Now, I memorized all Salam's journey and Adam's world. Okay? And, man, it's driving me crazy. Okay? And really, we don't like her to watch too much TV because of the effect on the mind. But for her language development, alhamdulillah. So, if you leave her, she will watch all day. And she will continue, please. She has her own baby language for that stuff. You know, turn it on. Even now she knows, astaghfirullah. We have two switches, the one on the TV, then we have the TV hooked to the light switch. Now she knows. Before I used to walk by the light switch and be like, click, just keep walking. And then she was like, what happened? Right. Now she knows. And she'll yell at me, Abi, Abi! And she'll point at the light switch. So ask Allah to protect her, inshallah. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes you make dua, you think something's good for you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. As Allah said in the Quran, you don't like something that's good for you. You like something that's bad for you. Allah knows and you don't know. So He answers your dua, with something different. Because He knows it's better for you. Like the single brothers and sisters, please. Okay? Maybe that please is not the please. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you what He knows is best for you. The third is that by your dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes some ibtila from you in this life. Some trial, some test was going to hit you. Maybe some sickness, some problem. But by making dua, instead of answering your dua, He did that for you. And the last one is, وَلَا الْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ لَكَ مِنْ أُولَى. That He delays what you ask for to give it for you, to give it to you in the hereafter. When you meet Him, and it's going to be better in the hereafter than it was in the life. So Iblis, la'natullah alayh, the one Allah has cursed him, made dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supplicated to his Lord, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered him. You and I, alhamdulillah, we are not as far away from Allah as Iblis, so all we have to do is raise our hands and make dua to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him respite. And after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْذَرِينَ, you are from those who have been given this time. Then he told Allah everything about himself. What's my plan? Although he doesn't have to tell Allah anything. Allah already knows. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed this to happen so we can know the plots of shaitan, how shaitan works. And you go to the 7th chapter of the Quran, the 17th verse. And there Iblis, he tells you his plan for you. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, you're going to be respite, you're going to have some time. Then Iblis, he told Allah everything. Aha, I'm going to do this and that and this and that. Ahaha. Why did Iblis do this? You know why? Because he knows that Allah's promise is the truth. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْدَرِينَ, he knows, إِنَّهُ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't break his promise. What about when we make dua? Do we feel Allah doesn't break his promise with us? SubhanAllah, are we as confident in our dua as Iblis? And Iblis is the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your enemy. How is it possible that Iblis can be more confident in his dua than us? Then he started to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his plan. And he said, La'natullah alayh, قال أنذرني إلى يوم يبعثون, قال إنك من المنذرين, قال فبما أغويتني لأقعدن لهم صراطك المستقيم ثم لآتينهم من بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم عن أيمانهم وعن شمائلهم ولا تجد أكثرهم شاكرين. He said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your enemy, now he's going to give you his whole blueprint. He said, because you misguided me. And this is a mistake in the belief of Qadr. And we don't want to go that way today. But this is a mistake in Al-Qadr. And a mistake in beliefs is kufr, if done on purpose. A mistake in aqidah, if done on purpose, is kufr. That's why the hadith of the guy in Sahih Bukhari who was living with a roommate, and his roommate didn't pray. And he used to, in the time of Bani Israel. So he went to his roommate and he said, pray, pray man, pray, namaz palo, huh? Then he said, I don't want to pray, I want to play Xbox, I want this, I want to watch Shah Rukh Khan, I want to listen to Dixie Chicks or whatever they call these people, right? Then he left him. Then he comes to him and says, Ya salli, salli ya habibti, ya la salli habibi, pray, pray. He says, no, I don't want to pray. Then the third time he comes to him and says, if you don't pray, Allah will never forgive you. The Prophet said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to resurrect these two people. And he's going to bring the one who didn't pray. And he's going to ask him, why you didn't pray? And he's going to say, Wallahi ya Allah, I loved you but I was weak. I believed in you but I was weak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I forgive you. Then he's going to bring up that righteous man. This is why those involved in the da'wah have to be careful. He's going to bring up that righteous man, the one who was advising his friend. And he used to do everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask him the first question, what? Why did you tell him I wouldn't forgive him? Because in our belief, anyone who dies as a muwahid, who believe in La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, inshallah they will go to paradise. Some later than others. We ask Allah to give us with بغير حساب يعني. Then subhanAllah, he's going to ask him, how come you told that guy I won't forgive him? Why? This is a mistaken belief. Because we believe in Allah la yaghfira yashaka bi wa yaghfira ma duna dhalika liman yasha. Allah can forgive any sin except shirk. And if somebody repents from shirk, also he will forgive it. So Iblis, he says, قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. He says, because you have misguided me. And he attributes misguidance to Allah. And from the names and attributes of Allah, we don't have misguidance. Human beings choose to be misguided. فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. So Allah said in the Quran, when their hearts wanted to be astray, Allah let them be astray. لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Here it comes. I'm going to waylay them on what? Any of you ever heard of the repo man? Where's Bassem? Where you at, Bassem? You at the repo man, right? Emilio Estefes. No, I didn't mean it like that, man. It's my boy right here. It's my man. The repo man, he's from the hood, though. He knows about the repo man. The repo man is the one, if you don't pay your car payment, he come and take your car. And you come out, I gotta go sociology 8:30 in the morning, and you put your keys and you fall in your face. Right? There's no car there. That's the repo man. Also the IRS, those of you now who get all those credit cards because you're in college. You know, when I was in college, they would send me like $100,000. Mr. Webb, you've been specifically chosen because you're a teacher and teachers make so much, you know, enormous amount of money anyways. You've been chosen to have a $250,000 credit limit on this credit card. Now I'm married, I have a daughter, I make more money than I ever made in my life. Alhamdulillah, I ain't got one credit card advertisement. Why? Because they're going to catch you while you're young. Because they know that most college students, they can't control their desires. So you go and spend all that money, you know, you go to Julie's, buy the MSA hamburgers, and then you naan and curry while you at it, and you're just hooking it up, man. And then you can't pay. They will send people to your crib and take your little iPad and your Sony laptop and whatever the best thing they can find, they're going to take it. The IRS works the same way. So the repo man, their job is to take the most valuable commodity you have. Shaitan, he wants to take the most valuable commodity you have, and what is it? Is it Islam? How many of us, subhanAllah, we felt that we're lucky to be Muslim. When you know Shaitan, he doesn't care about Britney Spears. He doesn't care about, I don't know, I'm old now, yani, Def Leppard or something, man. Whoever, you know? That was before I was Muslim. So, Motley Crue. So, Iblis, he's coming for you. And when he comes to you, he's coming to take, Fadl Sheikhuna. Fadl Huna, Ya Sheikhna. He's coming to take from you the most valuable commodity you have. The most valuable commodity you have. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, Iblis is going to take my Lexus. God forbid, my SUV. Iblis is going to take my PS2. Iblis is going to take my tickets to, you guys know better than me, whatever. No, I know you don't know. I do that with youth, by the way. And then they start saying, Snoop Dogg's concert. They tell me where they at. You know what I'm saying? You guys are smart. You're like, what tickets? I ain't got no tickets, right? So he comes at you, and his job is to take the most valuable commodity you have, and it's Islam. So when we know that, we should say, SubhanAllah, my treasure is my deen. My treasure is my faith. How many of us in this room really we felt before? I'm the first one. And I was guided to Islam, so I should feel more than all of you. How many of us really we said, Alhamdulillah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me Muslim. How valuable is Islam? Go to Surah A'raf. Even when the people go into paradise, what are they going to say? I know if I got in a paradise, you know, be like, I'm going to Disneyland. You know, you'd be, oh, I made it. You know, you'd relax and you do all the things you can never do here. And, you know, you just lose your mind, right? But subhanAllah, the people who realized the blessing of Islam, what did Allah say in Surah A'raf? وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِي لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَا اللَّهِ. The first thing they're going to get in paradise when they go into paradise is what? Alhamdulillah. So how many of us, we felt this value for our deen, knowing that Iblis, the repo man, quote unquote, the thing he wants from you most is your deen. That's why if you're sitting in a philosophy class and you start having doubts. Yeah, Voltaire, he kind of hit that one on the money. I don't know if that's true. Nietzsche, yeah, Remember, Iblis, number one target is your faith, is your deen. And if you know that, as I mentioned earlier, how do people treat the most valuable commodities they have? Like, for example, the Mona Lisa. How many of you went to the Louvre before? Have you seen how? Nobody's like, shoot, I ain't been there, man. I'm not going to say that one either. That's another trick. But, you know, you go to these museums and you see the quote-unquote priceless antiquities. Man, they have even these lasers like on the movies, man. If you cross it, helicopters, police gonna come, the SWAT team, Everybody, Tom Brady even come out of retirement. Everybody going to come after you. SubhanAllah, did we protect our Islam like that? Did we protect our Islam the way that these priceless commodities been protected? Did we look after our faith the way that this enemy is trying to take it from us? And this is a very, very important point. We take from it, because he said, لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ سِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا يعني لَا مَتَوْكِيدٌ وَنُمَ تَوْكِيدٌ وَاللَّهِ, he said, I'm going to get them on the straight path. I'm going to take them off of the straight path. What's the remedy for this in Surah Al-Fatiha is what? Iblis trying to knock you off Sirat al-Mustaqim. What's the remedy in Al-Fatiha? Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it an obligation to read Al-Fatiha at least 17 times a day. Because you have an enemy 24-7, 365, Pacific, Central, Mountain, and Eastern time coming after you. And that's why you need this dua. Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim. And now when you say it after tonight's lesson, you should feel, subhanAllah, I need to say this. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Guide us to the straight way. Then he continued. And he said, I'm going to come to them from their front, from their back, from their right, and from their left. ولا تجد أكثرهم شاكرين. And you're going to find only a few of them thankful. He's going to come to you from your right, from your front, from your back, from your right, from your left, from your front, and from your back. This is Iblis. To remove you from Sirat al-Mustaqim. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he's going to tell us what each of those mean. But maybe some of us still feel like, shoot, I got no antivirus. Shaitan can't fade me. As I said earlier, this is the one shaitan got. Abdullah bin Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, he related a hadith related by Imam Ahmed with a strong isnad. He said, خَطَّ لَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ خَطَّ. He said that one day we were sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he drew a straight line. And he said, هَذَا سَبِيلُ اللَّهِ. This is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, the Prophet ﷺ drew lines perpendicular to this straight line. And the Prophet said, these lines, these ways, on every one of these ways is a shaitan, which is calling you to it. A shaitan calling you to get in high. A shaitan calling you to kick it with some honeys. A shaitan trying to get a sister to lose herself. A shaitan trying to get Muslims now to commit acts of homosexuality. On every one of these ways is a shaitan. A shaitan telling you that, I'm sure Sheikh Hatim can tell us, that communism is better than Islam. That nationalism is better than Islam. That secularism is better than Islam. Because you're going to get it here, in this institution. Shaitan going to work on you in every way you can think. Especially in concepts. How you think about life. So then the Prophet ﷺ, he pointed at this straight line. وَقَرَأْ وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوا وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَن سَبِيلِي. Then he read this verse in Surah An'am, the 6th chapter of the Quran, that says, and say, this is my straight path, صراط المستقيم, فَاتَّبِعُوا. You must follow it. And do not follow, you are not allowed to follow any other ways than this way. Then Iblis, he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm going to come from their front, from their back, from their right, from their left, and you're only going to find a few of them thankful. If you want to go to the Quran and see something very interesting, whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word darkness in the Quran, or words that symbolize misguidance, He used it in the form of jam'u, plural form. And whenever He used words to symbolize guidance, like light, He used it only in a singular form. Like for example, Allah says, اللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ يُخْرِجُونَهُمْ مِنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Allah says, He is the protector of those who believe. He is the wali of those who believe. يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. He takes them from darkness. And darkness here is in a plural form. جَمْعُ مُؤَنَّثِ السَّالِمِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes them from all kinds of darkness. into light, singular form. Go to the sixth chapter of the Quran, where Allah says, أَوَمَن كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ كَمَن مَثْلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِنْهَا. And this verse was sent when Umar radiallahu anhu accepted Islam. Where Allah says, and the one who was dead, and we brought them to life, and we gave them a light in a singular form to walk with amongst the people, is this one the same as one who was steeped in darknesses? All kind of darknesses. Why do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He uses a nur in a singular, and He uses darkness in plural? Because He wants to tell you, guidance can only be by traversing Surat al-Mustaqim. And Surat al-Mustaqim is only one. قُلْ إِنَّ هُدَى اللَّهِ هُوَ الْهُدَى. But the ways to be misguided are what? Innumerable. So many different ways. SubhanAllah. We go now to the statement of Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, when he commented on this verse, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَخَافِهِمْ. This verse where he says, I'm going to come to them from their front, from their back, from their right, from their left, and you'll find very few of them thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Abbas, he says, when Iblis, he said, I'm going to come to them from the front. He said, radiyallahu anhu, that he's going to cause them to have doubts in their hereafter. That Iblis, when he comes to you from the front, he will cause you to have doubts in your hereafter. When he comes to you from the back, he will cause you to have hope in a dunya. To have hope in this life. And a dunya, it came from a word that has two meanings. Adana. Adana means something close. Something close. And also it means something debased. Something which is low. A dunya. So if you look at this from a philosophical perspective, that Iblis is coming to people to make them doubt in the hereafter and to give them hope in this life, what philosophy can be used to describe this condition? Who can help us? Materialism. His goal is to make people absolute materialists. That the number one goal in life is, oh man, you got the new MJs, man. Oh, them is tight, man. I've been waiting on them for 5 months. SubhanAllah, my brother can't wait for 5 months on MJs, but he can't pray Qiyamul Layl once in 5 months. And in Qiyamul Layl, we know the last third of the night is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to the lowest heaven. And He says, who's making dua? I can answer. Who's seeking my forgiveness? I can forgive them. Who's asking? I'm going to give them. SubhanAllah, which appointment is greater? I remember when I was in Oklahoma and PS2 came out. And the youth that I used to teach in the masjid. Man, they went and camped out. The same guys who went and camped in front of Best Buy are unable to camp out one night, as our sister was mentioning about the Qiyam al-Layl you have on Wednesday. It's very important you go. Are we really soldiers of Allah if we can stand all night in front of Best Buy and get in our PS2 or our DVD player, but we're unable to stand up in the night and pray in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Materialist. Absolute materialists. This is his goal. The attack from the right, Ibn Abbas says, is to call people to have doubt with regards to their religion. To make problems in your religion. To give you a hard time. Why this? Why that? Why this? Why that? Why this? And the way to cure doubts is to ask someone who knows. Or to read or study. The last one he said is probably the one that I know I'm guilty of. That the attack from the left is to fall into sins. Maybe most of us, we thought sins would be number one. But sins is the last. Although the previous three are all sins. But the previous three can lead you to what? Kufr. The last one can lead you to be asi. And if Iblis can make someone a kufr, he won. Now, the three doors of Iblis. Iblis comes to you from three doors, according to Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. And these three doors are like entrances. This is not actually where he does his dirty work, but this is how he slides in under the rug, you know, as we say. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah said that Iblis has three ways, Shaitan has three ways to get you. The first one he said is Babul Ghadab, the door of anger. SubhanAllah, I remember I was Imam, how many times a brother knocked the teeth out of his wife's mouth because he was angry. You tell him, SubhanAllah, brother, your wife's bowler's man is up on the window, man. What happened to you? SubhanAllah, I was angry, man. And you know, she just pushed me to that point, man, to just smack upside her grill. So, SubhanAllah, how come you're treating your wife like that? I was angry. Anger is not an excuse. Or sometime a sister, we had some brothers, they became mentally depressed. Why? How come you don't do this? How come you can't do that? What kind of man are you? I need this, I need that. She got a Lexus, she got a new the new refrigerator, even the internet on it. How come I ain't got nothing? Right? I saw it at Fry's. They have a refrigerator at Fry's with an internet on it. What are you gonna do? You're going to get your no, we don't drink Pepsi, right? Your what's it called? Zam soda, right? And you're on there. Let me check my email. As we said, Iblis's job is to make people absolute materialists. There's no logical way in the world someone need to have a 17-inch monitor and they may tag. But when you ask people, why did you buy that? I don't know, I just wanted it. I just wanted it. Yeah, you just wanted it because you're being pushed from behind to buy it. So we ask brothers and sisters, usually in marriages, when they get into major problems, the core element is usually they don't practice Islam or anger. Even if they're quote-unquote religious Muslims, right? Because everyone's an active Muslim because all your blood is flowing through your body, you're breathing, your heart rate is normal. Until you die, you'll be an active Muslim. The core element to it is either misunderstanding of deen or anger. How many of us with our friends on campus, man, we quit talking to like a sister? Oh, that sis don't like me no more after I got that nice jail bag from Egypt. She ain't talked to me since I got it. Or brothers, right? That brother, he thinks he knows everything now. He memorized 2 juz of Quran. Now he thinks he's Sheikh Qaradawi. He thinks he's Sheikh Bulti. He's da-da-da-da-da-da, right? And then they split. All of this usually can be attributed to anger. And what is the remedy for anger? What about with our parents, man? How many of us, we just be going off on our parents? Just a steel cage match in the kitchen, right? I know what I want to be. I know who I want to marry. I know what I am. All of this attributed to anger. What did the Prophet ﷺ teach us in Sahih Muslim to deal with anger? The first thing he taught us about anger is one time one of his companions, he got angry. And the Prophet ﷺ, he told him, say something. And he refused to say it, and then he even blew up more. The Prophet said, Wallahi, Ibn A'lam, I know. Some words, if he said it, his anger would go from him. What are the words? A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Why is the first thing the Prophet taught us about anger? Because this is the door of shaitan. The second one, as Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentioned, is the door of desires. And this is dangerous, man. You know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created paradise and created the hellfire, He told Jibreel, go look at it. And what is the greatness of the paradise? In one narration, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made the paradise and He told Jibreel, fly for around 3,000 years. So Jibreel, he went 3,000 years journey. Then he came back. Allah said, what did you think? He said, oh, I can't believe it. Go another 3,000. So 6,000. Go another 3,000, 9,000. Then he came back and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Jibreel, you know what you just saw? He said, what? He said, part of the paradise of Abu Bakr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created the paradise, and what's the paradise? Another very good hadith, authentic hadith. The last person to come out of hellfire, he will or she will be washed, and all of the burn gonna come off them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask them, what do you want? And this guy, he will see this nice tree. And he will say, Ya Allah, can you put me under that tree? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, yes, but you have to swear, you will not ask me for anything else. He says, Uqsim billah, I swear by Allah, I will not ask you for anything else. Then Allah will put him under the tree. Then homeboy, he's going to be sitting under the tree. Well, what's that? And he's going to see a tree with a river under it. تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِ الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. It's called Subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah ta'ala. And then he's going to see it, he's going to say, Ya Allah. Sorry, excuse me. Can you, I like rivers, man. Can you put me over there by the river? Under the tree? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, yes, but you have to swear by Allah, you will not ask me for anything else. He said, I swear by Allah, I will not. Then he'll put him there. Then he's going to see one of the doors of the doors of Jannah. He's not in Jannah. And he's going to say, Ya Allah, Can you put me by that door? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you must swear you'll never ask me again. He said, Uqsim billah, I will not ask you for anything else. Imagine he's saying, Wallahi to Allah, and he's lying. Then Allah will put him by that door. Then he's going to see some curtains. He's going to say, Ya Allah, can you put me by these curtains so I can look inside and see the people of paradise? Allah said, yes, but you must swear you'll never ask me for anything else. He said, I swear, Wallahi. Then he will go, he will start looking in there. And he's going to see Al-Jannah. Then he's going to say to Allah, Ya Allah, adkhilni fil Jannah. Oh Allah, put me in paradise. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put him in paradise. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come to him while he's in paradise and say, are you satisfied? Are you happy? Do you need anything else? He said, Wallahi, I can't ask for anything else. He said, this is for you, and 10 times it's equal. Multiplied by 10 times, what you see is yours. The ulama, they said, and this is the end, hadith in the end of Riyadh al-Salihin, they said, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowing him to say Wallahi in front of Allah? Because he's lying. Because Allah knows that none of us can be patient with Jannah. If you see Jannah, you're going to lie. We lying about 75% off. What about when we see paradise? Kenneth Lay, the president of Enron, for $82 million, he's going to lie. What about when you see paradise? So this is Jannah. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Jannah, He told Jibreel, go and look at it, as well as Al-Bukhari and Muslim. He went and looked at it, he came back, Allah said, what do you think about it? He said, Wallahi, anyone who heard about it, they're going to want to go there. That's why always in the da'wah of the prophets, they talk about Jannah. Because the nature of the person, when they hear about Jannah, like now you guys are like them snakes on Discovery Channel, man. Wow, I want to go there, right? Because that's the nature of human beings. Then he said, go and look at it. He said, anyone who heard about it, they're going to want to go there. Then Allah surrounded it with something. He told Jibreel to go and look at it. He looked, he said, he came back, he said, I don't think anyone can make it. Then he made the hellfire. Then he told Jibreel, go and look at the hellfire. He saw it, he came back, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what do you think? He said, Wallahi, anyone that hears about it, they will what? They'll not want to go there. Then Allah surrounded it with something, and he told Jibreel, go and look. He came back, he said, what do you think? He said, Wallahi, nobody can escape it. What did he surround the paradise with? Hard work. Waking up at 4:30 in the morning, making your wudu and praying 2 rak'ah. And giving that sadaqah from your eye that you owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By being nice to your friends. By forgiving your brothers and sisters who did wrong to you. By being active in the MSA. By attending different programs like mashallah and Zaytuna they're going to have about the holistic health. Or anything that you can get involved in, the MSA West Retreat. Something you can do. And now after today's announcement, definitely we need to be involved and speak in our voice about this war that's going to happen in Iraq. That this is wrong. This is what Jannah been built around. Waking up and studying for your finals. Not coming there, I hope Allah will help me. You know the one driving to the school? I remember I used to drive to school in my finals. I studied though. And I would still be having my book open while I was driving, man. Right? But those who didn't study at all, and then you get there, I hope the footnotes be on the test. Come on, you got to work hard. What did he surround the hellfire with? Shahwat. The door of shaitan. Desires. Desires. Ease. Recreation. Vacation. Chilling like a villain. All this surrounding the hellfire. The last thing as we finish, because I'm at 63 and usually stop at 62, is Babul Ghafla. And maybe for our age, it's the most dangerous. Negligence. Shaitan mess with you in areas of negligence. Inshallah, like, I'm sure, if you go overseas, man, my wife's country, everybody said they're going to make Hajj win. When they're like hitting 70. How you know you're going to live 70 years, man? This is negligence. Without the Sahabi, the Prophet ﷺ, he was sitting, holding his dates. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, if I stop eating these dates, and I jump in this battle, and I become shaheed where I'm going to be. He said the paradise. He threw down his dates, and he went. What about us? And our chance to obey Allah. Are we negligent? Oh, I'm going to pray inshallah after I get married. Oh, I'm going to do this after I get married. Oh, I'm going to do that after I finish my school. Oh, I'm going to do that. Do it now. SubhanAllah, with Nike, we just do it. But with Islam, inshallah, step by step. So these are the 3 doors that shaitan uses to get inside you.